barbershop, you know the rules. No fighting, no cussing, no cousin, no blooding. Now sit yourself down and act like you got some sense. Now
I two friends from a small town in West Virginia have one thing in common. A love of hip hop. So it's only right that they get together to wax poetic about what they love. This is Hip Hop Manifesto.
This next album we get into is a little ditty called The Eminem Show.
You may have heard of it.
Yeah, you may have heard of it. It was only the biggest album of 2002. Now,
Take that back. You probably haven't heard of it. I'm sorry. I know how fickle you fans can be.
Now, I know a lot of... What am I looking for? I know you, some of you might be groaning, like, oh my God, Eminem's terrible.
But hyphen, you I just talked about Talib and Kweli. How are you going to talk about someone like Eminem?
I will tell you how I will talk about someone about Eminem. Here we go.
Here we go.
This was the first Eminem album I guess I could say, not boy. I've never bought an Eminem album. Bootlegging.
Sorry, Eminem, you're not getting my money.
This is the first Eminem album that I downloaded before it had really hit, you know? Like, it was about, I probably got it like maybe a week or so.
He was already big at this point, though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, for some reason, I really wanted to hear this album. And I don't know why. Now, when Eminem first came out or whatever with My Name Is, Slim Shady LP, I listened to it. I thought it was cool. But I didn't see the, oh my God, he's one of the dopest rappers ever. I didn't hear it. And people could say stuff about Infinite or Infinite was dope and blah, blah,
Infinite
blah.
Infinite was great.
I've never listened to Infinite.
Wow. You're doing yourself a disservice as a person that likes any Eminem album.
So do I need to stop talking?
No, I'm just saying.
But I'm just saying, I wasn't buying into the hype. You know, like, I respected he made some decent songs. And I'm one of a few people like, oh, Marshall Mathers LP easily. No. I am not a huge fan of Marshall Mathers LP because I feel like he took the formula he started with Slim Shady and he took it to like level 50 and just said the most outrageous shit on Marshall Mathers. And the funny thing is, that's the same shit he did on Relapse, and I'll sit here and say I like the Relapse album. So,
but you know what? Up until that point, though, he was kind of just a commodity.
He was.
And you're like, oh, it's that silly, crazy white guy.
Yeah.
And you really, even at that point, even though he, like, My Name Is, I don't know, sold like, what, 50 million singles or something like that?
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, this is incredible. Look at the success. You knew more would come just because they made so much money off of him in the beginning.
Right.
But you never expected long term for him to really have an impact.
No. And everybody kept, like, I kept reading the source. Like, that's when I was reading the source heavy. Everybody was like, oh, Eminem's such a dope lyricist. And I'm like, he's not a dope lyricist. He did songs about killing his wife and doing drugs. I'm like, I could do that shit. And this is me at, like, this is 2002. So I was, like, only 18 saying this shit, you know? And I don't know. When I listen to this album, the reason I love it so much, I feel like this is the first time he really opened up and started exploring other avenues in his music.
Well, I got to put that in perspective since I'm the only one of these two that have listened to Infinite. He went there with Infinite. Infinite was the exact story that you would think for a rapper that came up from the underground and was successful as a lyricist. And you could just see through the course of Eminem's career that he got to a point before his first actual album released to the public. He's like, okay, I gotta do something if I'm gonna make it. If I'm gonna be an artist, I gotta do something.
Right.
He figured out that formula and cashed in on it on dropping names and being controversial and just crazy off the wall shit.
Yeah.
And then it seemed like
I did respect his battle game though.
The Eminem show came around. He actually started to return to the lyricist that he was prior to his first album. Like, because Infinite was a deep ass album. It still had hints of what his next albums would be, but this is really kind of a return to the essence of Eminem as a rapper himself.
Mm-hmm. I guess I need to listen to Infinite. But like I said, this album, and as you said, it was him really, I guess, more so returning to his roots and stuff, which I had never heard at this time. So, like, I'm here, I'm looking at the track list, and you'll see stuff like White America, Business, Cleaning Out My Closet, Square Dance. Like, I'm sure you're going to be talking about murdering and being Slim Shady. But honestly, this album should have been called the Marshall Mathers LP. Because this is like Marshall Mathers talking rather than Slim Shady or Eminem. Now, the reason I say that is just like Dre had limited involvement with this album. Like, he produced a couple joints. He was on some songs. But this is the first album that Dre really stepped away from. And it's noticeable.
Well, he produced a lot of these songs himself, didn't he?
Yeah, a lot of these Eminem actually produced himself. Now, the best thing about this album for me is he's just... like the topics on every song, like he just goes in on a topic. Like, I think honestly, a lot of my the credit for my songwriting will go to Eminem, because if I think about it, because like he's always like, if he's on a topic, he will envelop that topic and make that song
like Till I Collapse,
right? Like White America, he basically just does a song about like all these, like how he influences all these kids and how all you need to beware because everybody's afraid they're going to turn into him and all this stuff. And he's like, he's basically saying, I'm sick of y'all thinking of me as this one person when all I'm doing is entertaining y'all. And he's like, there's no reason to really follow me. Just do you. That's what White America is really about. But I don't know. But I don't know if it came across like that. People say, oh, I love that song, White America. White America. Oh. Like, no. Like, you have to, it's deeper than that. And in Business... Business is just kind of chilled. He's just kind of fooling around. Cleaning Out My Closet is where he really gets into it, though. He basically told him about, it's more of his, or the more I hate my mom stuff. But
it actually was kind of personal.
It was, yeah.
It actually did seem like always dissing his mom to be extreme again. But really, it was like, not really. I'm getting this out. I'm clearing my chest. Yeah, I'm going to actually talk about this.
Yeah. And Square Dance actually featured those accents that everybody hates so much. But on Square Dance, he dissed the shit out of cannabis.
I'm back now, I've come to release this info. I'll be brief and let me just keep shit simple. Cannabis don't want no beef with Slim, no. Not even on my radar. So won't you please jump off my dick, lay off and stay off. And follow me as I put these crayons to chaos. From seance to seance.
And I forget exactly why. I think Eminem, Cannabis may have mentioned him at one point in the song. But he dissed the shit out of cannabis all while making a silly accent. And it's simply amazing. But, like, this whole album, though, like, even without me, like, he always has the corny single to lead, except for, like, the one he has out now, Not Afraid. But Without Me is easily his best lead single ever. Because, like, the beat is, like, it's zany or whatever, but the beat is catchy, and he's just, like, his lyrics are ridiculous. Like, he's like, he's just hitting, like, it's the beat is, like, it's like, nah, nah, nah. So it's like a slow four count, and he's like putting 16 syllable, like 16 beats before he even gets that first bar. He's really an exercise.
Unloaded on that song,
and yeah, he did. It's really an exercise in lyricism there. And then he has songs like "Sing for the Moment," which is more personal stuff. Haley song, where he's singing about his daughter Haley the whole song, and it actually led to the whole him singing hook sing that he does now. But the best song on here for me is easily "Till I Collapse."
Oh,
it's just
beats.
Him and Nate Dogg. I believe he produced the beat. But my God, that's just him. That's him just putting it down. Like, if anybody said, give me an Eminem song where he's just spitting, that's the song. He murders it from start to finish.
So I collapse, I'm spilling these raps long as you feel them. To the day that I drop, you'll never say that I'm not killing them. Cause when I am not, then I'ma stop pinning them. And I am not hip hop, and I'm just not Eminem. Subliminal thoughts when I'ma stop sending them. Women are caught in webs, spin them in hawk venom. Adrenaline shot, the penicillin could not get the ill in the stomach.
And honestly, as a whole, like, there may be moments where you feel like the album's like slowing down, like say towards the end, like Say What You Say when they're dissing Jermaine Dupri, when that little beef was on him and Dr. Dre, and then like My Dad's Going Crazy, that's okay, and Drips is about venereal disease, and yeah, it's not that great, but I feel like the album as a whole started the whole road that Eminem has gotten to now, with going back to his roots, as I've been informed, and just getting back to doing the actually getting to do the music that he wanted to do. And little did I know, of course, that he was hooked on all kinds of drugs at the time. But I just feel like it's an amazing piece of work from him.
It's an important step to where he's at now, I believe.
Yeah.
Very good album, though.
I think so, too. I'm sorry, I kind of just talked over you.
Okay. I don't really know what I get
real
to add to that.
I get real passionate about my albums, apparently. Gosh.
So I'm going to just let that showing be off what it was and leave the Eminem show for that. I really have nothing that I could add to that. I enjoyed this album. I'm not a huge Eminem fan. And this album still has, for every song that you don't like on there, there's a really good song that makes up for it.
Yeah.
Enough that, like, I would still go out and buy this if I bought albums.
If I bought albums, you'd be on my list, buddy.
If you really tried to break down, like, the architecture of the album and look at the song orders and the flow, I think that I was really weirded out by that. Because there'd be, like, Till I Collapse, which is, like, hits really, really hard. And then it gets kind of weird, like, My Dad's Gone Crazy, which...
My Dad's Gone Crazy!
I don't know, if I was putting this CD together, I wouldn't put those next to each other.
And there's actually, let's see, there's actually, I don't think it's Soldier is actually a dope song, but that became one of the songs that that 50 Cent and G-Unit hopped on and murdered the shit out of and helped and was part of 50's buzz in 2003, which led to him blowing up all over the place, or late 2002 rather.
So for It's Time is really good. It still stands up on its own as one of the better Eminem albums.
I would still put this at the top of my list as one of the best Eminem albums. I respect Marshall Mathers more at this point than I did when it came out. Maybe it was overhyped at the time. But I definitely... It's a great piece of work, like I said before. What time are we at? Where's the recording device?
Recording device. Yes.
I can't read that.
I don't know. Crazy MacBook, what are you doing?
It's just scrolling. It's counting measures. Why is it counting measures? It doesn't matter. As long as it's recording. That's all I wanted to see. So, like, I hadn't seen the screen in a while, so it really sucked. Like, man, great episode. Stop recording at 14 minutes. Like,
wow.
Man.
We just talk to ourselves.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
Hello, Ustream. That's when we'd be like, all right, we're ripping this from the Ustream audio. Fuck quality.
Word. It's getting darker in here.
Wow.
Because there's no lighting.
Need some lights.
Yeah.
Trying to set the mood.
Set the mood off right. I believe it's your turn.
Okay.
And I think you want to go with One Dark Man X.
Well, since it was kind of dark in here, I'm going to go with Dark Man X.
Dark Man X. DMX.
As he's better known as. AKA Earl Simmons.
Better known as. But, this album came out in 1998. It's Dark and Hell's High. And this is the other album that we were talking about along with Black Star that really led, though this definitely led to the shift in hip-hop. Because, like we said, everything was all jiggy out and everything from Puffy taking over the world in 1997. And then this album came out and just changed the face of everything that was going on.
To give you some background, this is a crazy thing. Like we said Dark Man X, and a lot of people won't know this, but DMX, he used to have an album out before this. This is not his first album to any extent. Do you remember what the album was called?
No.
I don't even know if it was officially released or if this is just an underground album, but it was called Dark Man X. That's what he went by.
Yeah.
And it was a flop.
I've heard of it.
It didn't really get anywhere. And I guess he went through, he got depressed, somehow turned his life around, or at least got to a different point in his life, came back as DMX, and then put out this masterpiece. And I don't know what happened. Maybe everyone was just built up all this tension after listening to so many Tupac songs and then just wanted to be a rider again. But as soon as Rough Rider stuff came out, everybody was on it.
Yeah,
you could not get any harder than DMX in anybody's eyes at the time. DMX was the 50 Cent of his 5 minutes of fame that he had before 50 Cent was around. Everyone was like, fuck with DMX.
He was the, everybody says that Drake is 50 Cent of the game, or he's the new 50 because of his buzz being so big. DMX was the first 50 Cent. And I mean that, like, no artist had a bigger buzz than him going into the album, because Get At Me Dog was out. He had a huge buzz. Everybody was talking about DMX, DMX, DMX. And he was the hottest dude out.
And the crazy thing is, if you think about this album, you probably remember like some of the classic songs or the single like Rough Riders Anthem.
Yeah.
Which comes on and everybody starts singing that stuff like they know what it means. But really, if I look at this playlist right now, I see like a few songs I think are classics, but it still doesn't hit you over the head and say this is a hip-hop classic.
No.
But yet somehow it has its place there in hard-ass albums of that time that everybody rocked out to. Like Stop Being Greedy or the video for How's It Going Down. In fact,
oh, wow.
I'm going to take just a second for How's It Going Down because for whatever reason, there's a girl in that video that I still think about.
I was gonna make the hip-hop confession, son.
Man, the girl in that video. Man, she was an incredible. I want to know who that is. If anybody actually listens to this and happens to know that, get at me. Man. She's
amazing.
And I love that song. I don't know why.
Shout out to Faith on the hook, yo.
Yes.
I like how it was subtle, you know, when like,
yeah.
Like big feature, Faith Evans. It was like, no, it's like, just doing a little sing song thing.
I'm politicking with this chicken, wondering if I'm a creeper. Little hood rap bitch from 25th named Tamika coming through like I do, you know, getting my bark on. Knew she was a thug because when I met her, she had a scar.
ATF was like a good song. Get at me, dog.
ATF is one of the best stories ever.
Boom, 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 boom. Open the door. ATF.
And Crime Story's a dope story, too. Like the best thing about DMX has always been his voice. But
he's so unique.
I feel like
nobody was sounding like DMX at this time.
No. I feel like his lyrics got weaker as his career went on. Yeah. Of course, as the crack came back into his life. And I'm being serious. He really is a crack addict. Right.
Sorry,
now.
D.
Not like this isn't just Ja Rule and radio talking now. This is honest out there. We know that you're on crack. It's sad. It really is. But he really has some classic songs on here, and it's all about the voice and the delivery and just that anger and that fed upness, I guess, that is like he puts across. And I mean, like you have songs like let's see, Let Me Fly. X is coming. Damien, which is one of the first songs that I recall that I'll probably say that I heard where that's another story song. But he was doing a second verse on the second voice on the joint, kind of like reminiscent of Give Me the Loot with Biggie doing the high pitched voice and then doing the regular voice. And he's basically talking to the devil. For My Dogs, that's dope. The only song on here that I really we'll look at it and say, I'm not really a big fan or whatever. It would probably be look through my eyes, yeah. It would have to be that one. And I Can Feel It is kind of played.
I don't even remember that song.
Like,
now.
It had the Phil Collins sample, and it was cool, but it never, like, stood out to me, you know? But Niggas Done Started Something with Mason the Locks. That was the hardest they had gotten to spit in a while. They all got down on that joint.
Taking notch from the out of state spots. Any nigga make it hot, get found in vacant lot. You don't really want to come try the one guy who stays dumb high from Blunt Lot. The bracket sang alumni who got more beef than the Islamic bomb. So I pack enough sonic arms to neutralize atomic bomb. It's not a nigga in your gang want it.
And DMX actually was on Mace's album. Like, Mace is one of the first artists to really put him on, really, because it was LL had 4321, and right. Then Mace,
that's right,
had 24 Hours to Live. You know, there was a video for 24 Hours to Live.
Yeah,
I only saw it like recently.
And he's never been quite on the extent of what Nate Dogg was on hooks, because Nate Dogg just got unleashed on music. It was on every single hook. It was a guaranteed, like,
yeah,
heavy rotation single. But DMX,
get better,
for a
Nate
while
Dogg.
There, was even, like, on top of a ton of hooks. I mean, if
yeah.
DMX is on your hook, man, that shit's going gold at least.
Yeah, for real. DMX was a force of nature that hit hip-hop like had never happened before. Like, I don't even remember, like, I don't even think Nas or Biggie had, like Nas had a buzz
right.
going in. But I don't think he was at this level. Like, maybe as the media expanded and stuff, like, it was easier for people to say, oh, this guy has a buzz, whatever. But he was easily the most anticipated guy to drop in a long time.
The thing,
and he didn't disappoint.
Yeah. The overall characteristic of this album, which I think just makes it still relevant to this day, is if you think back to, like, say, the early 90s and then how pent up all the lyrics seemed. Like, you would just have, like, rappers like Busta Rhymes. They would just be like, unleash crazy, like, artistic stuff all at you at once.
Yep.
Or you'd have groups like Onyx that would just, they come, like, really, really hard, and you're like, man, like, it comes so hard, you just feel like it's been bottled up for so long. And it seemed like for a while, hip-hop started to get away from that. Like we were talking about Mace, and you talk about all these other easy flow-like things, or, like, the rest of the way New York was rapping at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one's going to say something about that, like, about Mobb Deep.
No.
But the energy that comes from this album...
That one album they put out with G-Unit, that was pretty weak.
The energy with this album is what makes it.
Obviously, I had no comment for that.
Yeah.
The funny thing about this album, though, is it's easily my favorite DMX album. And I'd put that at the top, and then probably... and then there was X, and then on down. As much as I love this album, I absolutely hate Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood. I feel like it's the exact same album.
Yeah, he had a formula and just, like, kind of slightly updated it.
Right. I absolutely hate it. And the thing is, it was released in the same year as this one, released in, like, November or December.
Didn't have anywhere near the same commercial success, though.
No, I mean, it went platinum because everybody was hungry for more DMX. True. But, like, honestly, looking at the track list, the only songs that I even really fucked with on there was, let's see.
It's So Good.
That's all right, whatever. Like, Slippin' easily one of the best DMX songs.
I've been racking my brain this whole time because I also remember the video of the Slippin'.
Yeah, Slippin' was dope. Blackout was dope because it had... Jay-Z and the Locks on it, and they're killing it.
We're not talking about this album.
I know. I'm trying to make a point.
Listen to the first album.
Yeah, listen to It's Dark and Hell is High. I was just making a point that if we do an underrated or overrated album show, I'll probably will say something about Flesh of My Flesh, because basically it was the cash cow cashing in.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. I got the album system.
So, yeah, this good album. Good album.
Very good album. That's a very big shoe.
We're running out of albums here.
We got three left, son.
Oh, man. And we've been talking to you guys for like hours.
No, it hadn't been hours.
Yeah, not really.
I think I'm going to make this one episode, though. I'm not going to cheat them anymore.
Man, I don't know if they want to listen to us for that long.
Yeah, I might break it down. We'll see what happens. But the next album we're going to check out is...
What is it? What's it going to be? Is it going to be big?
No.
No.
It was a little impact album. The next album I want to talk about is by a rapper named Murs, who we've talked about before. We talked about him on the Best Albums of 2008 podcast. Sorry we missed out on 2009. We're terrible podcasts.
Wow. Why do you guys listen to us?
It's our chemistry. We're charismatic. We're like Talib and Mos.
We're like Turk and JD.
There you go.
Oh, sorry about the cat hair.
Cat was not feeling laying on your lap. But Cat's we're going to talk about a Murs album. And if Matt wants to repeat what Murs' name stands for, he can. I can't remember what it is. Making something raw shit. That's completely wrong. Now I'm mad. Whatever.
His name is Murs, and that's what you got to know if you're going to look to buy his album.
Well, anyway, Murs was, this is actually...
Underground raw shit?
Making underground raw shit. Thank you very much. Not making raw shit. Which is what I said. But Murs was signed to Definitive Jux, and he actually had put out a couple of albums there. And he linked up with a producer named Ninth Wonder, who became popular through his work with a certain group called Little Brother, who I'm a big fan of, and also for his big placement on the Black Album, because he was the only producer on the Black Album who really was an unknown who placed a track on there, and with that song called Threats, which featured a Cedric Entertainer, just putting one of the most memorable sketches down ever. I keep trash bags with me. But Murs and Ninth Wonder hooked up and did an album in like 2004, maybe even early 05, and it was called Murs 316.
Also, a really
the ninth
good
edition.
Album.
Now, while you really liked that album, I liked it for what it was. It was my first time listening to Murs, but besides like a couple joints, it wasn't something I was like, man, I really like Murs. It didn't make me become a big fan of Murs. Now, Murs and Ninth went back into the studio, like in 2005. This came out in 2005.
How do you remember these things? You got like the date for every album, and we didn't even like Wikipedia that stuff. I'm just like, this came out.
I remember what I was doing.
It was a Sunday. It was Sunday outside. I was drinking a Coke the day that it was released.
Fuck you, dude.
You're like the Rain Man. Album release dates.
Not quite, but
he is.
It is on the screen though, but I did not cheat.
No, you've been spitting that off the whole time.
Yeah. It came out late 2005 because I remember bumping it like all winter.
It was October 28th. I knew I was preparing the.
It was the day after me. Actually, it was the day after me and Matt actually performed for the first time at 123 Pleasant Street.
It was the illest show ever.
And
Merz, you should have been there.
And the day after I dropped the Thunderstorm mixtape. Go cop that. But more importantly, back to the music.
Oh, that was shameless.
I know. Knife and Merz got together, went back in the studio, and for some reason, I don't know if they were just talking about it, whatever. They decided, hey, Merz, like, I'm not going to curse on the album.
What?
Yeah. And this is from Merz, if you listen to
that's my
Merz
best 316. Wonder impression. What?
Okay.
Not going to be pissed.
Go beat a bitch down, son. What? But if you listen to Merz 316, there's a lot of cursing on there from Merz. And, like...
Because he was making raw shit.
Underground raw shit.
You can't be making underground raw shit and be clean.
There you go. But which he actually has returned to his dirty ways now on a new Merz the Ninth Wonder joint.
Merz is dirty.
Stop! I'm trying to tell him about the album.
Trying to tell him about Merz.
And what they did is they went and put only ten songs on the album. Like this album probably at its full length is maybe like 30 some minutes.
Might as well have been an EP.
Yeah, really. But the lyrics that they put together and the beats, they have one of the best chemistries of a hip-hop producer and rapper. Like, really. And just the songs, there's only like a couple of real, like, full songs on here. Like Merz Day, that's an intro. Murray's Law, that was a whole song. Like he probably put like maybe six full songs.
Shit, Dark Skin White Girls is on that.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of good songs on here. Like, he has a song called L.A., where he's just bigging up, he's from LA, of course, just bigging up the city, and it's just amazing. Like Ninth Wonder, like, flipped this old, it feels like he flipped the old sample. And it's just like, it sounds like some music that would play, like, in a Western almost.
I'm from L.A., California, A hot. Days got shade, let me take you on the way. A lot of out of towners can't handle this city where you wear the wrong color and it can't get tricky. But that was 86 and things done changed. We a lot more evolved.
It's a really dope song. Everything on here is dope, and that's one amazing thing. Like, the only curse word on this album comes from Barbershop, where Big Pooh from Little Brother is featured. And the funny thing is, like, I think Big Pooh cursed on his verse or whatever. I don't think the rules applied to him about no cursing. But at the end, like, Big Pooh's is like shit talking at the end, and he curses, and then he goes, "Sorry, Merz." Like, I thought it was hilarious or whatever.
Shout out to my man Jermaine. First cut. Nigga. Sorry, Merz.
But I mean, there's Joe Scudder's on there. Like, this is either before or after he was on the Little Brother single, Loving It.
I think either before it was after it.
Shut up. It was before it.
Glad it wasn't exactly at the same time, or else he'd be rapping at two places.
Shut up! I'm trying to tell him about the album.
I tried to tell him about Merz.
Just talking about Merz. But God, you're throwing me off.
I want to tell you
the something. The point of the album is hip hop does not need to be overdone. They did very little with what they did on this album and made amazing music in only 10 tracks.
It is concise. It's like they took your average hip hop album that has both good songs and your trash songs and your pop songs and all those, and it just cut out all the fat.
And back on the block, I was a bona fide hustler. Spot popping off until the police rushed us, handcuffed us. I thought I was gone. Could have cried thinking I'd miss my son being born, but I was blessed, beat the case. Now I'm trying to reform. But these white folks make it so hard to move on. You gotta jump through hoops, anger management kooks. But the fact I'm still standing here today is
proof. No, seriously, it was like.
No, I'm laughing because of you being a dick. I'm sorry.
It's like they cut down to the bare essentials of a hip-hop album.
Bare necessities. Blue?
remix.
I'm sure there already is a dance remix of Bare Necessities. But
Murray's hop on that.
I don't know. I think it was a big moment. Not a career defining moment. It was a new chapter for Murs when he did this, because I've never listened to any of his definitive Jux music. I've only listened to the stuff he's done with Ninth Wonder and the Warner Brothers album, which we talked about, Murs for President, which
is a good album.
It was a good album, but he's no longer with Warner Brothers, of course, because Warner Brothers didn't know how to promote him, even though they signed him to that big deal and stuff. But whatever, he's still making music. That's all I care about.
Check out Murs though. Anything that Murs dropped is going to be pretty good.
Yeah, he actually just dropped another album with Ninth Wonder, and it was called For and Ever. It just came out, I believe, in March or April. That's a really good album too. But honestly, if you want to hear hip hop in its purest form, and probably I have to make light of how short it is, but like you'll start listening to it. And the album is so good, it'll be over before you know it. Like, when the first time I listened to this album, I went on repeat. I played the album on repeat for, like, a good 2 hours. And it's only 10 songs, so it had mad plays by the time I was done. But it really is just a nice, fluid album. It's kind of like, it's the album for the ADD, for the ADD hip-hop fan, honestly.
It really leaves you wanting for more.
Yeah, it's one of those albums. It's kind of like... Kind of like, you may not agree with me, but when I was in theater watching Ray and stuff, and I've really gotten into Ray with Jamie Foxx and everything, and they got to the end and they start scrolling the end credits, Ray Charles changed his life and he became a global icon and all this stuff. I was like, I want to see more Ray. You know, it made me wanting more. It's one of the few movies that made me feel like that. I felt that way about Iron Man 2. I wanted more out of the movie and there wasn't more. It was over. But this is...
Well, that was different. Because this album was good. That movie was not.
Oh! No shots. But I feel bad. I feel like we're making fun of Murs. But yeah, this is a
we're not doing dope album. Justice.
Murs and Ninth Wonder, Murray's Revenge. That's a must listen.
Cop that.
Cop that status, son.
Really like that album. I'm glad you included that. Okay, so I'm going to go... We only got two albums.
Warm up.
If you're keeping track, I might have went to another one. Thanks for ruining it.
The warm up. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about J. Cole.
J. Cole.
And J. Cole is kind of...
Where have you been?
He's kind of got a similar story, I guess, to Kanye West. Because J. Cole is a kind of up-and-coming dude that is a producer, is a rapper... It's been signed to Roc Nation with Jay. So if you got Jay's cosign, you're pretty set.
You're good.
But the thing is, like, lyrically, the dude is a beast. Like, it's unbelievable. We were just listening to some freestyles earlier today, and I was really kind of blown away by the lyrics of this guy. Hypha put me on to The Warm Up, which is not his first album. His first, like, kind of mixtape was The Come Up.
Yeah.
And he put the warm up up since then. And that's also a good album. And they kind of go hand in hand with each other. But we're going to talk about The Warm Up.
Now, my relationship with J. Cole. Because...
They dated for a while. No comments.
Damn.
Shots.
I have nothing. I got nothing, dog. I first heard about J. Cole, I want to say it was last summer. Like, when he started popping up on the blogs, of course, and there's, like, many, many, many things that come across the blogs, like, and I'll see, like, XV or Donis or Pill or what's that one, Donnie Goins.
Black Milk.
They'll come across the blogs or whatever, and I ignore them. I completely ignore them. Like, I am a music snob. At this point, I have to be. There's so much content out there. If you try to listen to it all, then you're just going to kill yourself. I can barely get through the shit that I want to hear anymore, and it's kind of sad. It makes me sad.
It's but ad nauseum.
There you go.
Promoted music.
Exactly. Now, I saw that he was with Roc Nation, and he had the big placement on the Blueprint 3 with the verse on The Stars Born.
Which is a good verse.
I didn't like his verse.
Really? That's what made me want
I was
to hear
like,
more.
I think, no, that's not what made me want to hear more. Like, honestly, I was waiting to hear him, like, blow my mind, and it didn't happen. So I was let down by his verse. Honestly, on The Stars Born. The verse that made me want to really listen to him, give him a try, was on Wale's album. on
you're right.
The joint
it
with
was a
him
lot and, better actually on the yeah that's actually what I'm thinking because yeah. I had that conversation with you. Yeah, his verse on the Wale album, Attention Deficit, was really, really good. It was actually kind of disappointing on Blueprint 3.
Yeah.
And hearing him on Wale, you're like, wow, this dude's a beast.
He really is. And it's I don't know how to describe it. Like, a lot of people have been like, oh, he's next Nas and blah, blah, blah. I actually have spoken to J. Cole.
What?
I have spoken to J. Cole. Because
what?
When we were doing the hip
name dropping.
We were doing the Sound Vision TV like webcast thing like last fall or whatever. He was one of the people who called in, we interviewed him and stuff. He was mad cool. But for some reason I was like, all right, I need to give this guy an honest listen. And I downloaded the warm up and I threw in my iPod and I listened to it one day and all I listened to was the intro and I was like, my God, he's rapping his ass off. And it's like, it's one thing. There's, for me, it's one thing, like, you lay down a verse or whatever. And it's like, oh, it was a cool verse or whatever. There's a difference between a rapper who can murder whatever they're saying, who just blows you away when they lay down a verse, and a rapper who just lays their verses. And every single verse on the warm-up, J. Cole just gets at it, you know. And it's amazing.
Yeah. The Warm Up is actually my favorite album come out this year or last year or whatever year it came out. It's going to be the favorite because I really, really enjoy this album. I'm playing the hell out of this album lately. And I've been insanely impressed. I really don't know what to tell you to compare him to somebody else, but he did say something towards the very end of the album. And
Beautiful Bliss.
I fall home to the real, they wanna know just how it feel. Who would have thought a little nigga from the Ville could get a deal? And tell them niggas at the top, we want your spot, we are for real. And yeah, we heard you got it locked, but like them socks, we on your heels. So you best be on your toes, nigga. Especially on your flows, nigga. Cause man, they keep on checking for me, especially all your hoes, nigga. Catch me on your
dose. He describes kind of the feel of this album by saying that, you know, you're like the dude in high school that's trying to make the basketball team, and like you work really, really hard, and then you get up there, and you know, it's like the day that they put up the list, and you're up there checking the list, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're like, oh, I'm gonna be on that list, and you kind of wait in the back till everybody else kind of look at the list, and then you know, you get up there and you're going through the names, like, I'm better than this person, I'm better than this person, and then you realize you're not on the list. And it's kind of weird seeing that because this guy's getting a lot of hype. I mean, he's not getting like Drake hype or anything, but he just got signed to Roc Nation, so he's like guaranteed success.
Yeah.
If nothing else, he'll be the next Memph Bleek, which is not a bad career choice in hip hop.
No, not at all.
But
Bleek catches a lot of flack, but
he comes with this humility, almost like he's failed his entire life, but yet he's one of the most up and coming prospects, and it's just such a unique mind state to have. And I can't even really like try to classify like the content of his lyrics because it's everything that hip hop is all wrapped up into this. I mean, he talks about women, but then he talks about just deep personal stuff, almost like a Joe Budden level. And you're like, but what the hell? Where is this coming from? But it is phenomenal.
The one thing I noticed it early in the mixtape, but he kind of got away from it later in the mixtape, which I felt was good. I felt like he was talking about girls a lot. When I say girls, like just talking about getting ass, fucking whatever. Having sex, making love. Like, I felt like he was just kind of, a lot of his lines referring to, blah, 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 blah. Like, he was just referring, making sexual references that he didn't need to, in my opinion. But as the mixtape went on, he got away from it. But this is like, J. Cole was just one of those, he has become one of those artists for me. And when I say one of those artists, it's like one of those artists that are on the cusp of blowing up, really. And there's only been a couple people that I felt that way about, and that was Kanye. That was The Game. It was Charles Hamilton. What am I doing? God, it makes me sick. Drake, except I didn't expect him to blow up so fast.
Yeah, I mean, you were on Drake.
I was on Drake. I said this. Thank you. I said this on my mixtape I just dropped, plug. That I was doing a skit, and I was like, I was one of the first people to mess with Drake back in 2007. I was like holding my, you know, making big claims and shit. But I feel like J. Cole has that it factor. And when I say it factor, I mean an it factor where like 5 years from now, I still will care about J. Cole. unlike X rapper who has one good song and then I never care about him again.
Yeah.
He has it. He definitely has it going on.
Man, you listen to him, you just hear hunger.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot which song exactly it's on, but he's rapping about being with Jay and then just saying to Jay-Z, like, I wonder if Jay-Z sees in my eyes that, I'm going for his throne.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if Jay-Z ever, could find an artist that was that hungry to do it, I mean, I bet Jay-Z signed dude just knowing that.
Yeah.
Knowing he is that hungry. Because
that's a dope line. One of my favorite songs on here, though, is, let's see, I'm trying
Simba
to find
is that. My favorite.
Grown Simba is dope, yeah.
Grown Simba is great.
Lights Please is amazing. His Dead Presidents, two. That's actually his second version of Dead Presidents. That is dope.
He did Dead Presidents 2 just as good as Jay did.
Explain the story that he had at the beginning of the song.
Okay, I'm not trying to ruin the album for you, but it's not a movie, so you can listen. So grow up. But basically, he says in an intro before the song is that he dropped a verse over Dead Presidents on his first album, The Come Up. And, he was really satisfied with it, but when he was letting people listen to the album, this one guy's like, man, you didn't come hard enough to be on a song like Dead Presidents, man. You can do better than that. And he said it just really stuck with him. And so when he did this album, The Warm Up, he had to do it again. And thank God he did, because the first Dead Presidents on Come Up, it was all right. It was just like your up-and-coming rapper going over a classic beat that he'll never quite, fill the pants of. But then he did this, and it's unbelievable because he did it on Jay level. Like, you almost want to listen to this to make up for the lack of Reasonable Doubt sounding Jay-Z music there is.
Look, heaven or hell, you choose. Freedom or jail, you lose. I can't stop him as hot as the devil's shoes. Overcame a low life status to blow like Gladys. Ahead of my time, like I lived my whole life backwards. I'm nothing like these whole life rappers. My whole life practice to be the one. What it's like to be LeBron. They calling you the
same. Is that good?
Yeah, it really is. And one of my favorite songs on here, it's actually him having a crush on a girl, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
over the dry slow beat by Kanye West.
I don't know if it was called A Dollar and a Dream or Dreams. I was looking to translate and I couldn't figure it out. But the song, he's like talking about, oh, this girl's so fine and I'm going to introduce myself and blah, blah, blah. Eventually he does. And then she's like, oh, I have a man or whatever. So he's like, cool. And then he goes further to say he goes and kills her man. And then basically takes his place and gets the girl in the end. It's like, honestly, like,
yeah, it's just dreams.
You may hear that. You may hear that. And you'd be like, man, that's graphic. And that's Eminem. Like, but it's a story is told so well that you just feel like you feel like you could, it's basically, like I said, a movie on wax. Like he basically broke, like if he had scripted that shit out when you watched it, you probably wouldn't even like it as much as you like that song.
It's so crazy because with this song, it starts out and he's like, this is some crazy shit. I mean, it's really, really crazy. And you're like, all right, whatever. You put that in the back of your head, whatever. And then you hear that drive slow beat and you're like, oh, he's going to come hard. Just like every rapper you ever heard rhyme over Ride Slow after Kanye did it.
Yeah.
And then he starts singing and it starts sounding like just a kind of I Met a Girl song. Like it's got kind of this really, actually, the really, really overly catchy hook.
This the girl of my dreams. Hey, hey, is she good as what she sings? Am I lying to myself? Hey, should I try and get some help? Yeah, say this the girl of my dreams. Yeah, is she as good as what she sings? Am I lying to myself?
And
it's almost the type of song that you want to like play for your girl because you know she'll like it because it's about a guy meeting up with a girl. It's one of those songs.
Even though there's a murder in it.
Yeah, but you don't see that coming. Like, you think it's a little bit obsessive, but if you ever listen to, some rock like Weezer or something, you're going to be like, oh, that's nothing.
I can relate to it though because I have crushed on a girl that bad.
Yeah.
And
you don't see this
not
coming.
Not where I want to murder her
so
boyfriend.
So for us to tell you about this murder thing, really, I feel like we've already ruined it for you, actually. I feel like we probably should have never even told you that.
No.
Because once that third verse comes in, you're like,
you have to hear
God,
it. You have to hear it.
So we're sorry we had to tell you that about this song.
No spoiler warnings.
Yeah, it's the real world, man. You gotta grow up. Sometimes people go and ruin shit for you.
We got my sexy pose going on right now. Yeah. We're you streaming this right now. I don't even know if anybody's watching this. I just felt felt the need to bring my laptop and the webcam and get some usage out of it. So, hi. But seriously, J. Cole, the warm-up, he's going to be somebody. Like, his single Who Dat that he just put out, that shit's nasty. He's working on an album. That shit's going to be cracked. Like,
if you want to be the dude to say, I was on motherfucker before he was big.
Exactly.
Now is your chance.
He was already putting the freshman 10 on the XXL. So you need to get on the J Cole business before the whole world wants to be in the J. Cole business. And you're just like, you're one of the bandwagon jumpers. He's going to be nice. And this isn't said in the same vein as when I was talking about Charles Hamilton 2 years ago.
Sorry.
I'm dead serious. J. Cole will blow up.
See, we
get the warm up, get the come up.
We at Hip Hop Manifesto are enablers. We want you to be able to be that music snob.
Now take your Vicodin.
So later, once he's as big as Jay-Z, you'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't listen to J. Cole. I'm sorry. I only listen to B-Hype and the Show.
And what they say on Hip Hop Manifesto. I'm waiting on episode 7 now.
10 years from now.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about.
That's when we finally get around to doing our Ages of Hip Hop. Okay, so.
Oh, God.
So we got.
I feel like we should talk about that. Did we talk about that really before?
We've mentioned it.
We mentioned it.
It's going to be the best podcast that ever happened. I'm going to continue hyping it up.
The little bit that we recorded of that.
We recorded that?
Yeah, but I was over here.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
No?
Yeah. I came over here. It was summertime. You came pick me up from in us. And we went upstairs, I brought the mic, and we tried to record it. And then we're like, we don't know enough about this to record it. And then...
That was at your old place, man.
No, it was here.
No.
Yes.
I don't believe it.
Whatever.
Oh. Man, if you saw it on Ustream, dude, just deck me.
Oh, Joe Budden moment. Oh, God, yo.
Oh, man, he's going to kick your ass. Sorry, Mouse.
Love you, Mouse. All right, we got one album to go.
One.
And we reference the worst song that we know. Oh, wow. The last album we're going to talk about is by Kanye West. And no, we're not talking about Graduation. Not talking about College Dropout or 808s.
Wow, that took this. Kanye West, how you going to end on young Kanye West, man? Be hyped. What are you doing, man?
I feel like Late Registration does not get enough credit. And I'll tell you why. Musically, it's one of the best sounding albums ever. Like, the music just sounds big. I understand when he made Graduation, he wanted to have more crossover songs, and he accomplished that. And I feel like I don't feel like he's taking a step backwards with his career, even with 808s or whatever. Like, but I just feel like this album is College Dropout times 500.
Wow.
Yeah. I feel like it's that. I feel like they're essentially kind of like the same. It's a continuation of College Dropout. It just feels bigger, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like he says a lot on this album that.
I like this album a lot. Overlooked. And we just mentioned Drive Slow. Drive Slow is also on this album.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to keep track of what songs are on this album, what are on the other. And when I first listened to this, I thought that maybe some of the songs were kind of leftovers from the previous album.
Mm hmm.
But
I can tell you that Hey Mama definitely was a version of that recorded
I bet Hey Mama was out before his first album was out.
Yeah,
probably.
Like, that was one of the earliest songs he recorded.
But it had a lot of big songs on it, like real powerful big songs with the orchestras in there, and Kanye's doing his thing on production, and I liked it a lot. I mean, and obviously it got commercial success because Gold Digger was on it.
Yeah,
and Gold Digger's
easily one of the biggest singles of the 2000s.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was huge. Look back at the 2000s,
and it still rocks. Like, it's not a song you got tired of either.
Yeah. I mean, you probably went through withdrawal of the song for a while.
Right.
Because you're like, I don't want to hear this anymore because I heard it too much. But when you look at this song or this album, there are so many tracks on here that other rappers were so compelled by. They had to go do their version over, or they had to freestyle over this beat.
Right.
Because there's Touch the Sky, We Major, Drive Slow. Like, those songs just went crazy in the hip-hop world. Like, if you know anybody that thinks they're a rapper or wants to be a rapper or maybe is a rapper, the few that are actually good rappers, they freestyled over that.
Another reason I think I love this album is, you know how there's always the threat of the sophomore jinx and stuff, the second album sucking. He came nowhere near that. He probably went past what people expected him to do on a second album.
Definitely.
Like, even, like, the first song, like, is, like, when I first heard it, it was amazing. Like, it's a little piano, like, it's heard him say. I got the piano keys going or whatever, and he's, and then you hear Adam Levine of Maroon 5.
I saw that on the credits, and I was like, what the hell right. is this? It made me scared for that whole album.
Adam Levine of Maroon 5, and don't get me wrong, I like a couple Maroon 5 songs. I've never been like somebody said, oh, I'm going to listen to the whole album, but there's certain joints I'll be like, yeah, I fuck with that song.
Perfect on this song.
But it's just a perfect blend of two worlds. And that's one of the things that Kanye does really well.
Yeah.
Like, he'll have his moments where he'll be like, it's not working, Kanye. But he really knows how to put people, how to make people mesh on a song. It doesn't feel like a feature.
Or at least if it's his album, it'll be the best mesh ever. He's done some songs with other people. We're like, oh, come on, Kanye, what were you thinking, man?
Check. Check, please. Check, please.
Yes. But on his album, it meshes beautifully.
Yeah.
And even with artists you wouldn't think, like Adam Levine.
Yeah, and he gave Lupe his first major look, really, because nobody had put Lupe on anything until he did.
I guess that was before Child Rebel Soldier, the talks.
Yeah, doing that. Child Rebel Soldier, that talk was in 2007. And if you haven't heard that, Child Rebel Soldiers was this group that was proposed between Lupe, Kanye, and Pharrell. It actually isn't going to happen now because Lupe kind of is going to form his own little hip-hop supergroup or whatever, and I guess Kanye and Pharrell's too busy making money.
But, and being wow. Just, it's the Four Horsemen story all over again.
Yeah. But he put Lupe on a... He put him on, really. Yeah. I mean, he already had a buzz going. But, I mean, I guess it's the whole... Lupe's from Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the whole Chi-Town thing. And Lupe... When I first heard Lupe's verse on Touch the Sky, I was like, oh, it's not that bad. But now if you listen to it and you think about it, like damn, he was killing it. Like, and this is actually what put me on to Lupe. Because, like... I was like, man, he's not that bad. I went and checked his mixtapes. I heard, what was it? Fahrenheit 115th. Like, I listened to both the first and second parts of that. I was a real big fan. I told Chivalry about him. And Shiv's like, oh, okay, cool. And then Food and Liquor came out. And
Revenge of the Nerds was
the second one, yeah. Yeah. And then Food and Liquor came out. I enjoy Food and Liquor. He really loved Food and Liquor. And now Lupe's one of his favorite artists. I love Lupe still, too. I still love Lupe too. I think I'm Beaming is one of the dopest songs out now, but
can't wait.
He's obviously a bigger wow. Lupe fan.
But yeah, that kind of broke Lupe to the world, at least in the mainstream. And that's around the time that Rockefeller was talking about signing him too.
Yeah, and actually, hell, like I know that Jamie Foxx was on College Dropout. He was on Slow Jams, but really. The look he gave him on Gold Digger is why Jamie Foxx has a 3-album deep R&B career now. Because this is probably a little known fact. Jamie Foxx released an R&B album back in '96, and nobody cared. After Gold Digger, he's been able to put out 2 albums, about to put out a third, and have hits and be a relevant R&B singer thanks to Gold Digger.
Someone everybody else just thought, oh, he's a funny dude.
Yeah, exactly. And
who does that?
And
Killer BH.
Kanye probably got one of the best verses out of Paul Wall before Paul Wall, his run was really over. And like, no offense to Paul Wall. I know he's still rapping and still making music. But, I mean, he got him right when Houston was blowing up. Like, if he had to pick a Houston rapper, like, he couldn't really pick a better one next to Mike Jones at the time. So, who? I mean, shut up. I'm not getting into that. And like Paul Wall was on Drive Slow, and it was beautiful. One of the collaborations that a lot he actually takes crap for on here is Bring Me Down, which had Brandy on it. because people's like, oh, it sounds like a Brandy song, whatever. That's probably the best Brandy has sounded in years. And all Kanye does is lay, I think, one verse over it.
All he did was throw her a bone, though. When's the last Brandy song that you heard?
Exactly. Like, I know she's still making music. She's got the Ray J reality show right now with her brother and stuff, where they're arguing with her mom most of the time. And I have a question. I know you haven't seen it.
Okay.
But on the Brandy and Ray J reality show on VH1, I thought Brandy had a baby. How come there's no baby present? Please explain that to me. Anyway, back to the music.
Who's your baby daddy?
I don't have a baby daddy. Because I'm a dude.
No, I mean, who's her baby daddy? What do you think I'm saying? I forgot that she had a baby.
It was a football player or basketball. Quentin Richardson was who she was dating when they broke it off. I think it was a sports guy, but they got...
Man, sports dudes, man.
A little bit after she had the baby, they ended up splitting.
Like Dwayne Wade is with Gabrielle Union.
D-Wade, son.
I know.
Now, one of the songs on here I'm not a big fan of.
What's that?
Well, My Way Home, and I'll tell you why I'm not a fan of My Way Home. That's a song, Kanye's not on it, Common's on it. The reason I hate it, it's a minute and 43 seconds. Just when Common's really getting to the verse, it's like, It's over. It's like, why did you do that to us, Kanye?
That song belongs on a Common album.
Yeah.
It's a good song, and the beat's nice, but it just doesn't belong on this album.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the thing. I think it was done on purpose, though. It was put on there to get you to listen to Common's album.
I think so, too.
Because otherwise, if you're one of the, 3 million people or whatever bought this album, maybe more, you're probably buying this because you're a gold digger and you're the soccer mom driving your kids to soccer practice in your SUV or whatever. And you're like, oh, what's this? Oh, this is Common. I mean, I'll check out this guy. Maybe he'll make music that I want to listen to, too. Now, the song I don't like is the one right after it. And I caught so much wreck for this from you.
You don't like crack music?
No.
Well, I was about to say, like, Kanye did three big things on this album. One of them is he didn't let Game rap on his song. Like, yeah, honestly, crack music is annoying. Especially the fact that Game is just sitting there going, "It's a crack music, nigga." He serves no purpose. But Ye's verses are cool, and I can live with it, honestly. It's a song I can live with.
If you listen to this song, I mean, it is what it is. He's comparing music to crack.
Yeah.
And you think about it, and you're like, wow, that's been done before a lot.
Joel Santana, anyone?
And lyrically, it's good. Like, comparisons are actually kind of artistic. But the hook is so annoying that it takes away from the beauty that is this album.
Like, yeah.
Kanye's not the type to go out and try to get street cred or anything. If he does, we probably wouldn't be talking about him because it would probably be really bad. But it really, really irked me when I got to this and I hear Game doing the hook for it.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, man.
But
I was just listening to Common a second ago. You can't just throw in the Game? What is that? A DJ did that in the club, I would walk out.
And then waste your $10.
Oh, that's a good point.
I
would think about walking out and not buy a drink during that time.
I actually heard Game's verse for it, though, because he put it on one of those G-U Not mixtapes he's dropping around this time. And I don't know if it was the actual verse that he laid down for Kanye or if it was a verse he laid down just afterwards and put on the mixtape, but it was so out of place. So props to Kanye for not letting him have a verse in the song. Now, the other two things that he did on here was he let Jay kind of speak about the Rockefeller situation on the Diamonds from Sierra Leone remix.
That was a big song.
It was. Because that was actually the first single was Diamonds, actually.
Good morning, this ain't Vietnam still. People lose hands, legs, arms for real. Little was known of Sierra Leone and how we connect to the diamonds we own. When I speak of diamonds in a song, I ain't talking about the ones to be glown. I'm talking about Rockefeller, my home.
The regular version, which barely ended up on an album because it was a bonus cut. Like, after he did the remix. But the remix, Jay just goes in and says, he says some shit about, yeah, I did this and that. And he's like, but still the Rock of Gibraltar, whatever. Of course, a few years later, he's like, he got rid of everybody. And then he's like, oh, I'm going to leave Def Jam and start Rock Nation. And I think Kanye and Jadakiss are the only people that's still officially on a Rockefeller Def Jam deal.
Jadakiss?
Yeah, the last Jadakiss album, he was on Rockefeller Def Jam.
Well, there's a song on here that probably is really, really overlooked, but I like it, and surprisingly, man, my girl loves the shit out of this song, and it's not the song your girl probably likes, but Gone.
She likes Gone?
Loves Gone. My girl, and this is how awesome my girl is, just for a little aside, she knows every word to Gone by Cameron, by Consequence, and by Kanye.
You're fucking kidding
me. And if I screw up one word, she calls me on it.
Wow. Man,
my girl gets official cred for this. And, man, really, she put me onto this song the most. Because I was like, I always hear, like, the Cameron verse, and I don't like it. But Consequence did his damn thing on this
so
song.
So did Ye, yo. I mean they both song. Did.
But I had to take a moment for Consequence.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise, people would be like, it was Consequence.
Consequence is a great artist.
I've been pouring out some liquor for the fact that my pal's gone. And trying to help his mama with the fact that her child's gone. And since we used the bubble like a tub full of cow gone, guess it's only right that I should help her from now on. But since they got a foul on, what could have gone wrong? Now they ask the cons, how long has this gone on? And maybe all this money might have gone to my head. Because it got me thinking money might have gone to the bed. So I ain't going to the dread, but he ain't going up to bed. And when I came the next morning, he was on my bread. And with that being said, I had gone my instincts.
He's really, like,
he's been around forever. He's been around since even Tribe Called Quest. You can hear him on Tribe Called Quest album.
He finally dropped his debut album. He's about to drop his second album.
He's got some mixtapes. Don't quit your day job.
Yeah, he's a really good artist, and he's just growing as an artist, like every single release he does.
But
the other thing, other major thing about this album that he did, he basically reconciled Jay and Nas. And I'll tell you why.
What are you talking about? You're shaking up my world all topsy-turvy.
He went to Jay and said, I want to get Nas on We Major. Is that cool? Whatever. And Jay's like, go ahead. I don't care.
Because it's a Rockefeller album. Keep
yes.
in mind.
He was respecting the fact they had beef before. Nas did it. Jay heard it. Jay wanted to get a verse on the song, but it was too close to the album's deadline for him to actually get the verse in. But I feel like the fact that Kanye reached out to Nas led to Nas and Jay-Z eventually reconciling and then making up later in 2005.
I think there had to be this awesome moment there with, like, just creative tension where Nas comes in, oh, whatever, man, I can do a song with Kanye, that's fine. Lays down his verse, and Jay's probably like, I'm going to listen to this, I guess. Let me put on his headphones real kind of awkward-like, and like, I guess I'll give it a listen. Oh, shit. I'm going to have to get on this shit.
We Major.
I wish I could have been there at that moment.
And the We Major is fucking 7 minutes and 28 seconds long.
You could say it takes up a majority of the time.
It's the longest song on the album, and it's amazing start to finish.
Feeling better than some head on a Sunday afternoon. Better than a chick that say yes too soon. Until you have a daughter, that's what I call karma. And you pray to God she don't grow breasts too soon. Projects toe up, gang signs stone up. Niggas hats broke off, that's how we grow up. Why else you think shorties write rhymes just to blow up? Get they first car and then IRS show up. He ain't never had shit, but he had that nine. Nigga come through flicking and he had that shine. Put two and two together in a little bad weather. Gonna be your whole family on that funeral line. As the Reverend was a strip club.
And before we leave late registration, there's one song on here I'm glad he included it. It's the very last song on the album, but I think it's dope. It's called Late. And
that's not Latte.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Come on. The song is called Late, and it's this real smooth out soul sample joint. It sounds like it was very, very Kanye at the time. And it's just, like, really, if there was a time in hip-hop where people should have started saying the word swagger, it would have been on this song, you know. Like, he was just oozing confidence in this song. It was just, I felt like the song was crucial, because even though Kanye made a lot of valid points for him being a valid rapper on College Dropout and most of this album, I feel like after you hear, I feel like Late is kind of like the precursor to what happens where he goes with it on Graduation, almost.
I could see that.
And I think it's a very important song that shouldn't be left out of the mix. But Late Registration, my favorite Kanye album, even over Graduation. Some may disagree, but there it is.
Well, who cares? You're not making podcasts.
Yeah, or any money off it like we are.
Ballin'. Kinda.
Yeah.
Not really.
Nah. But that is our 10 random albums. And That's how we get it in, son. I mean, it gets no realer than that, really. I mean,
there was 10. We told you there'd be 10, and we gave you 10. That's right. About as real as it gets.
If you have any albums that you say we should have included or whatever, like, oh, well, you should have thought of it this way, blah, 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 blah. I mean, that's cool. We'll take your feedback. But, I mean, do you have anything else you want to add before we get to the final, all the where you can find this stuff and email?
Well, you know, I think this is potentially, you know, should we ever actually record another podcast?
If maybe we get something, to episode 7?
We got big shoes to fill. This is maybe another avenue that we could go and explore in the future. So if there are other albums that you just – even just want to hear us discuss, or you want to know more about, or there's artists that you think should be that are similar and you want to find out other things, just let us know, because we just love talking about hip hop. It really doesn't matter what it is. In fact, the crazier it is, probably the better show would be. So hit us up and let us know about that.
Yeah, like we should definitely probably revisit this sometime. So
10 more albums.
Why not? If 10 more albums.
Wow. The sequel to the sequel.
That's always the worst one in the trilogy, though.
Yeah. That show is going to suck.
What?
The sequel to the sequel.
You know what's sucking worse than that? The sequel to the sequel of the sequel.
We're on some George Lucas
fucking
shit.
Fucking Fox. But we're going to go ahead and get to the administrative, as I've heard it called before. If you want to get in touch with me or Shiv about anything, or just kind of tell us your feedback on the show and say, hey, we're glad you're back. Maybe you should stick around a while. You can email us at hhmpodcast@gmail.com, or you could hit me up at b-@gmail.com. But I prefer you use the show one, because it'd be cool to get email and say, oh, look, somebody specifically emailed the podcast. Someone actually does care. Like I said earlier, we are on iTunes now, so make sure you definitely check us out there. Of course, I'm going to flood my little world, my little piece of the internet with this show once it's up, so you'll be able to find it all over the place there. The website again is hhmpodcast.blogspot.com. You can stream, you can download, anything like that.
And we're on the Twitter.
And you can comment. We have a Twitter, that's right. Hip Hop Manifesto. Hip Hop Manifesto has the Twitter. And you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/hiphopmanifesto, or you can go to twitter.com/b-, or twitter.com/chivalry.
And if you like our podcast, this is kind of an ongoing thing between Hyphen and I. I mean, we argue over who's going to get to sleep with Sasha Gray, to dissing women at the mall, to
Twitter misogyny hashtag for the win.
So, yeah, if you like this, there's plenty more on Twitter that we can do without actually recording a podcast. So
yeah. Actually, Sasha, I still enjoy Sasha. She's definitely made it into the rotation of I'm feeling watching this girl today. No, I'm still in love with her. I can't say I'm over her. But Christina Rose has a great ass. Too bad you took that picture down off your Twitter. Damn.
So hit us up on the Twitter.
The Twitter.
And
of course, you can find b-.com. You can also find all the podcasts on there. Like, I have a little podcast page now, and you can see my guest appearances, and hopefully this guy will get some guest appearances in the future. Yeah, and hopefully someday. Yeah, maybe someday he'll want to be on Better in the Dark with me. That would be an interesting show.
I don't think those guys would like me. I think those guys
probably love you.
This guy's an asshole.
Thomas and Tarek, every time I'm like, how's Chivalry doing? They're like, oh, he's good, blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's just because I'm famous.
In your own mind, son.
But yeah, actually, I'm glad you mentioned them, because I think it's appropriate that we
yeah, you started listening to them.
I did. It's good.
Yeah, he started from the beginning, so you got 80-some episodes.
Man, that's hard, man.
I came in, they had just gotten to episode 21, so I listened to the first 21 episodes.
And what we're talking about is Better in the Dark. And there's nobody in the world that can tell you what Better in the Dark is than b-. So, real quick promo.
All right, let me break
it. Sister podcast.
Yeah, because he thinks y'all are girls, apparently. They don't like you now.
Man.
Blew it.
No, they did the James Bond shit.
They did. They did the James Bond.
I mean, that takes dedication.
They got that. Their last James Bond episode coming up. It's going to cover Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace.
Nice.
Or as they call it, the Quantum of Boredom, because they weren't fans of it.
Wow.
Yeah. I've never seen either one, so.
Interesting. I got to hear that.
But let me break it down to you. Better in the Dark is these two guys from Brooklyn, Thomas DJ and Derek Ferguson. Thomas DJ dabbled in podcasting.
He's a rancher of pods.
Podcasting a little before he got to Better in the Dark. He had a fan fiction podcast called Other People's Toys, and I was a big fan of it. And he actually interviewed Derek in an episode, and then it kind of went away, and he's never explained that to me. So next time I'm on the show, probably either to do another Spike Lee episode or to do the John Singleton episode, I'm going to have to ask you that, Tom. Now, they decided, I think they got hit up by like a website, a sci-fi website, and they're like, or a horror website, and they're like, hey, will you review horror movies or and do a podcast? And Tom and Derek were like, cool, let's try it out. And so they started doing it, and then the website never took off or whatever, and they really didn't have anything to do with it, other than just kind of posted on their live journals and stuff. And they just kept going. And they cover all kinds of movies. Like, they've covered movies as far back as, I think the furthest back they've went that I recall, I think maybe a movie from the 40s.
Wow.
Like, Derek is a big, besides being a published author, he's also a huge movie buff. Like, he's published 2 books just of his movie reviews and stuff.
Wow.
And then Thomas has been in writing, just writing in stories and, like, magazines and media and books and short stories. Like, he's been writing for years as well.
So while you're on iTunes looking up the latest hip-hop manifesto,
you better be looking at them. Check out Better in the Dark. And basically, let me get to the grit of it. I'm, like, telling their life story. They review movies. Like, whether it's new movies or a certain series, or they just pick random movies and then talk about it. They have great chemistry, and they just go in on movies. And they just have a hell of a time doing it. And then you have a hell of a time because you're listening to them record. So it's an amazing process. And you can check them out at earth2.net. Better in the Dark. So make sure you look them up and tell them that B-Hyphen sent you. And I'm also the guy that does their official theme song.
Shameless. Well, thank you.
I think I should be allowed to brag a little bit. I mean, that's a big look. I mean, I don't know how many people listen to their podcast now, but I mean, they hear my voice every single episode.
Yeah, but that's like, oh, okay.
What?
That works.
That's like what?
Now I was going to make a comparison, but then I realized it would be right.
No, what were you going to say?
No, I was just thinking about our boy Paycheck Game, and he did the intro for Bank Bus.
No, Bank Bus never recognized that, though.
Oh, fuck Bank Bus, then.
I think there was one point where I think he got an email or something, or never, like, really made. It's not like you're going to go to Bank Bus right now and turn on a trailer and, like,
it should be. They should at least give him a free porn subscription.
It should, because Paycheck probably put a lot of people on Bang Bus, because that was like, he put down like 2000. That's when Bang Bus started taking out. And again, this conversation turned to porn.
Shameless.
You ain't lying.
Well, yeah, thanks for listening to us.
Yeah, this has been Hip Hop Manifesto. Don't forget to check out the other podcasts, Two Web Shooters and a Microphone and Victory Jump Off Radio. Just put out a new episode of Victory Jump Off Radio entitled Summer Madness. Best podcast I've done of that series yet.
It's like the radio. In a podcast.
With a brain. All right, yo. That's enough. Hip Hop Manifesto, we are out. No sleep till Brooklyn.
Bitches.
No longer could we share the love that was never there.
You've been listening to Hip Hop Manifesto, brought to you by Matthew Spencer and Kellen Conley. Inspirations for this episode goes out to Thomas DJ and Derek Ferguson of Better in the Dark, Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier of Smodcast, and Michael Bailey and Shag of Views from the Long Box. If you're trying to find any of our previous episodes, check us out at hhmpodcast.blogspot.com. If you have any comments, hate mail, pipe bombs, bite Better in the Dark, send it to hhmpodcast@gmail.com. Hopefully we'll be back sooner than later. If not, we'll be back later than sooner. What? Hip Hop Manifesto. Peace.
I'm doing this just in case, like, there's, like, something I can just have, like, a, ha-ha, that was funny, like, at the end of the show or something. Right.
It's gotta be the worst food that I've ever made, seriously.
Don't be too hard on yourself.
Oh, there we go.
What are you talking about? That's gonna be that part noise. Of that bowl, yo. I almost you could have fixed the crack in the bowl with that.
But yeah. I fixed my bowl that we cracked. Yeah, I just made some really bad food and it just kind of got stuck there.
Don't heat it up too much, though. It'll melt.
Well,
all right, we're broadcasting right now, and I'm going to let everybody know.
I have hiccups.
Damn, son, that's lame.
That's real.
Real live shit.